All right, good morning. Glad to see everybody out and about. And thank you, Sam, and the worship team. Have you felt like you've been to church today already? Okay. I was fortunate this past week to be able to teach in pastoral theology on worship. And I'm always amazed when I think of worship. You know, what do we come to do when we worship, right? Do we come to hear good singers? We got them, right? Is that what we come for, just to sit and listen and go, oh, that was so nice, that was wonderful? What's the real purpose for why we come to worship? And as I was teaching that through this week, I was reminded again, it's not about any of that. It's not about me, right? It's about God. It's my heart that gets to worship, that gets to tell God how great he is, gets to remind others of the greatness. Some of those songs up there, you know, fantastic, you know, shout to the Lord, you know. How often do we shout when we come to God? We often want to come to God very quietly and very reverently, which is right. But there's sometimes we need to come to God with a shout. And we need to just let him know that we are so grateful for who he is and awesome. So thank you guys for leading that this morning. That helps me quite a bit coming there. We're going to be in Philippians 27 through 30. I know we read Ephesians. It's a corresponding passage to what we're looking at this morning. Of course, our key verse, anybody know what the key verse is? I noticed this morning it was on the back of your bulletin. If you don't know, you can look right above the sermon notes there. It's written there, it says, only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come to see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that to me is the key verse to all of Philippians. That's why I chose it. And all of the things that are going to happen through this book, we need to be reminded to walk worthy of Christ. And you read that throughout the scripture. We're going to get into a few more of those passages, but Ephesians 4, 1 Thessalonians 2, Colossians 1, 10, talks about walking worthy of the Lord in our conduct. So let's pray, and then we'll look deeper into the word this morning. Father God, again, I'm thankful for the time to come, for the opportunity to share your words. Lord, I just ask that you would allow me to be the vessel that you would speak through this morning to the hearts of each one here. Again, we all come in different states this morning from a week that has had its moments. And so I ask that you would calm our hearts down and help us to focus on your word this morning, and that you would speak to each one of us through your spirit this morning. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen. So last week, we got started on kind of this passage of it's all about the gospel, right? It's regardless, we talked about Paul being in chains, and regardless of our situation, right, in life, it's still about the gospel. Right? No matter what our life may be like, the turmoil that goes around us, to keep focusing on the gospel, because God's in control. God is ultimately there. Sam was talking about, you know, the rocks crying out, and I was reminded in Exodus class this week, did you realize, I think it's the gnats or lice, he commands the dust to turn to the thing. Dust, right? I'm looking at my office, I see plenty of dust. And I'm thinking, God commanded dust to become lice or gnats. And just the power that our God has over all of creation, and they have to obey at his word. And why wouldn't we want to be about the gospel then? If we know who we serve, Shouldn't we be all about telling people about this great God that we have in our lives? I was noticing this morning as well. I don't know how often you guys really take a look at this. Right? I like the blue. Right? Anybody ever read the blue? Or have we gotten used to just seeing the bulletin, skipping down, trying to find the announcements and stuff? Did you read the blue? Here's what the blue says. Our mission at MEF is to proclaim the gospel to the world. Worship the living God and teach his word to equip the saints to be God's representative in the world. And I love that. With what we're studying right now, it just goes so well, doesn't it? The mission of our church is to be equipped to serve, to worship the living God, but to also take that gospel, not to leave it here in the building, but to take it out into the world around us. And that's what our life is about. And so last week we looked at the idea of always being about the gospel. Again, we're going to look at that theme this morning. Paul is reminding them this morning of standing fast with the gospel, right? Standing fast means not moving, right? It's almost like having your feet cemented in the ground, okay? In a culture, then, they were supposed to stand fast in the gospel in a culture where they live, right? And that command is to us today. We live in a culture, right? Some of you are living in a culture where it's easy to stand fast in right now. At a Bible college, it's easy to stand fast because everybody around you is holding you to that standard to some degree. The rest of you are living out in the world. I call it the real world, right? Are you standing fast in the real world? Can you stand fast in that real world when the culture hits you in the face? How are we doing? How are we standing? So we're going to be reminded this morning to stand fast with the gospel. In this passage, in these three verses, I particularly found four areas in our lives where we need to stand fast in order for the gospel to go forth, and it's all about the gospel. So let's look at this morning, verses 1, Philippians 1. We're going to be in 27 through 30. Again, it starts out with our key verse, right? The four areas we need to stand fast in, the word stand fast means simply to persevere, to persist, or stand firm in. If you want the definition of the word. to persevere, right? That's so hard to do, isn't it? We think, oh, these words are easy. We come on a Sunday morning, we hear all these things, we go, that's easy. Right, but to persevere, to persist, well, that takes it up a little bit. Right? I have to persist in that, and I have to stand firm. Easy to do while we sit in our pews or sit inside these four walls of the church. Again, a little more complicated when we leave these doors and we go into the world, to our jobs and all the things. So where's the first area that we need to stand firm in or stand fast in? Verse 27 says this, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There's a lot in there. So our first stand fast is really 27a, if you're one who kind of put it that way. Stand fast in your conduct, in the conduct, the way you conduct your life. The word conduct is really interesting because I had a different view of that. I had a view of, oh, being kind, being nice, being polite, or whatever. But here's what the word means. It comes from a Greek word. I'm going to mess this up, so pay attention. Politeuomai, okay? Go to blueletterbible.com. You'll get the pronunciation just right, but you get my pronunciation this morning. I was told in Bible college, if you're when in doubt, just pronounce it like you mean it because nobody else knows either. So politomai. It means, and this is what got me a little bit this week, to behave as a citizen. To behave as a citizen should. Right? In our case, in the case we're looking at this morning, it's a behavior as a citizen of God's kingdom. To behave as a citizen of the kingdom of God. That's what he's calling us to. In Colossians 1:13, Paul wrote, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love." Later on in Philippians, in chapter 3, verse 20, we're going to be reminded, as Paul reminds them bluntly, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is not in this land, but we live here as a citizen of heaven, right? Anybody know the gospel song? "This land is not my home, I'm just a passing through," you know? It's true. Where's your citizenship? Where's our loyalty in our conduct? If conduct means to behave as a citizen, then we need to stand fast as citizens of God's kingdom, right? What does that look like? Well, it means to walk, right? Walk worthy of the gospel. Walk as citizens of heaven, worthy of the gospel of Christ. How? The old little bracelets and stuff that used to go WWJD, you know, and all of that kind of stuff that was on there. How would Jesus be walking in my life today in the circumstance that I'm in? How would he, if Jesus and I went for a walk in our communities together, which we should be, right? Which, you know, in most ways we are as a believer, right? Christ is in me. Guess who's walking as I'm walking through our communities? Christ is with us. But if he was physically with us, how would our behavior change? How embarrassed would we be when we met people that know us? If they didn't know who he was and they just came up and started talking and conversing like they normally would with you, would you be taken back because of the holiness of God? See, to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. GotQuestions.com wrote this. It said, "Worthy has the idea of matching up. Does my life match up to the gospel of Christ? Our daily lives match our message," right? Does it? Does my life match up to what I say, to what I believe? Does it match up to what my calling is? Right? I get asked quite a bit, or I talk to people quite a bit, and they'll say things like, "Well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to give me direction," or some type of thing like that. And my answer is always, he already has. He's told us to go and be his witness. Finding what God desires for you to do is really easy to do. Just go be his witness. Where you're at today, right where you're at today, in all things. Right? Tomorrow that could change. Right? But we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're guaranteed right now, this moment. So be his witness. That's what he's called us to be. We get so caught up in trying to figure out where God wants us to go and what he wants us to do and that we miss the moment to be the witness that he's called us to be. We are to live in the moment. Worthy, my conduct is a moment-by-moment thing. To walk worthy in a moment-by-moment situation. Again, we read Ephesians 4. You can look up 1 Thessalonians 2:12. All of these speak of walking worthy of the Lord, of what he's called us to be. And our conduct then needs to be consistent. Needs to be consistent. So stand fast in your conduct. It needs to be consistent. "So that whether I come and see you or in absence, I may hear of your affair," Paul wrote. Okay? That's consistency, isn't it? That's consistency. If you're walking worthy of the conduct of the Lord, it shouldn't matter. I'm the same today that I'm going to be tomorrow, kind of a thing, right? That's how I'm supposed to walk. Am I the same person here? Am I the same person at the school? Am I the same person when I go to Walmart? Am I the same person wherever I may be when I'm on vacation and I'm camping out someplace? Is my conduct the same in all of those environments? Right? You get to answer that, by the way. Right? I don't get an answer for your conduct, but I do get an answer for mine. And so what is God saying? One of those two, right? James 5:8 says, "You also be patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Right? What in your daily activities, just think about the past week even, in your conduct on a day-to-day, was there any time during the week that you were kind of glad God didn't show up right at that moment? That Christ didn't come back right in that moment, because it would have been really humbling, right? Thankfully, he's forgiven us of a lot of our things that we do. But there are moments where I'm like, yeah, you could come back now. I'm okay. This would be a good day. I did well. Then there are days I'm like, oh, man, I'm just glad he didn't show up in that attitude, right? That attitude wasn't so hot today. And the people I met were, I wasn't as kind to as maybe I should have been. That's what it means, our conduct to be consistent. To be consistent in the way we walk, the way we live. The gospel needs to be consistently presented in our lives. We never know who is watching around the corner. Well, I can say a lot of good things. And generally, you know, I have pretty good conversations with people on a general basis. But does my life show it? When I'm out or in my garage working by myself, am I consistent in my life, in the structure that I'm doing, the way I'm living? That consistency. Because here's the deal. Who walks by my alley when I'm in my garage? I don't always know. Right? Who's walking by me in the aisle at Walmart and looking at me, hearing my conversations, seeing the life I'm living? When I'm out on a campground, who's walking by? Who's seeing things? See, that consistency needs to be presented in life, because you never know who's watching. You never know. But I can guarantee there's people watching. There is something about a Christian people notice in life. And they just see something in you that's different. And they go, that guy's different. Is it worthy of that? Okay, so we need to be steadfast in our conduct. The second one is found in the same verse. We need to stand fast with one another as the body of Christ. We need each other. Right? We need each other. It's probably one of the blessings. You all know we do ping pong on Thursdays or Tuesdays. Maybe I should show up on Thursday. Might have a better chance. Mark, you want to come on Thursday instead? why not? Whatever. But on Tuesday, one of the joys of coming for me personally on a Tuesday night to play ping pong is it's more than ping pong. It's a reminder that I need these guys in my life. They banter me. You know, I banter back. Don't worry. And, you know, but we have such a good time, and the fellowship there is good in the midst of competition. We need each other in life, right? It encourages me. I look forward to showing up on Tuesday night. I've gotten to a place where I just want to be there on a Tuesday night. It's just fun. Right? Church is the same way, right? How many of you look forward to a Sunday morning fellowship, right? I do. Why? Because it's a place of encouragement. Because I need you all, and you need me. Some of you are going, well, probably not. Yeah, you do. We do. We need one another. And so we're steadfast as with one another as the body of Christ. In one spirit, he says there. Right? I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In one spirit. He's talking about the breath that brings life. We're standing together in the spirit, in a life. There's life in a body. Right? Have you ever missed a couple weeks of fellowship? And do you feel lonely when you've gone? Maybe you've been sick a couple weeks or in the hospital for a couple weeks and you weren't able to get to fellowshipping with believers. Doesn't that weigh on you? It weighs on me. I long to be home. When we were pastoring down in Red Cloud, Nebraska, we'd go on vacation. I enjoyed vacation. I enjoyed doing that. But boy, I'd like to be back home with my friends, my body of believers. There was something encouraging about being with the fellowship of believers, your body of believers, right? He is talking about that breath that brings life, that we function and understand without each other, the life and breath of the church is hindered, right? You need to be here, by the way, so that the body and the life of this church doesn't get hindered as well. We need each other. And when we're gone, there's something missing. And we should recognize that. Okay, it says we also need to be of one mind. So we come as one spirit, bring life, but we come as one mind. Having a mind centered and focused on the gospel of Christ. Right? Here's the thing is, y'all don't think like me. Right? We're going to have a church meeting this afternoon, right? I wonder if there'll be any difference of opinion, of thought. Right? Right? Sometimes it goes smooth. Sometimes people go, I don't know if I want to go that route. Are we walking not as one mind when we have difference of opinion, different of thought? No, not necessarily, not in that realm, right? Because we're here to encourage. I need to hear what you guys have to say. You need to hear what I have to say. That's how we grow as a body. Sometimes we have different thoughts. We talk it through. We go, but we get behind whatever decisions are made, and we walk together in one mind in that. Right? We don't hold out and go, oh, that church, I can't do this no more. Right? That's not one-mindedness. It's being able to live with a different opinion on outside things, but understanding what's the goal of the church. That's why I read that earlier today. What's our goal? To proclaim the gospel to the world, worship the living God and teach his word, equip the saints to be Christ's representative in the world. That's good to remember when we come together. We might have different opinions. We might have different thoughts, but are we of the same mind? Yeah, I might have a different way about how I think the gospel needs to go forth. Okay? But it's okay if you have a different thing. Let's figure out how we want to go forth with the gospel because we're of the same mind to take the gospel forth into the world. That's what he's talking about, being of one mind, having a mind centered and focused on the gospel of Christ. We're going to disagree. We're going to have our passions that come into play, right? For me, I'm very passionate about rural ministry. I'm very passionate about rural ministry and revitalizations of small churches. That's my heart, right? So other people in our school, they're passionate about church planting. I get it. Right? Can we be as one mind as people of God, even though their passion is here and my passion's here? Absolutely, because what are we doing? We're striving to get the gospel to the world around us. Being of the same mind. Okay? And then he goes on to use that word, striving together, right? That's the idea. Striving is not a bicycle ride in the park. It just isn't. Striving has the idea of effort, working hard at things together, right? Laboring to accomplish a goal. Striving to get something accomplished. It's wrestling together with one purpose and goal, and that is that the gospel goes forth. That's striving together. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Right? Knowing that your labor is not in the vain, not in vain in the Lord. Stand fast as a body. We need to stand fast. Striving together, being immovable as a body. We might have different avenues we attack from, but striving together in order that the gospel of Jesus Christ is seen in the world around us. We live in this area, right? Mitchell, Scotts Bluff, LaGrange area. We have this corner, this little patch of ground that God has given us. And he's given it to us to take the gospel to. That's our mission field. That's what we need to do. Right where you're at, right where you're here. This is it. So we strive together. Be immovable. Be steadfast. Always, 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 always abounding in the work of the Lord. What does the Lord have for us? So we stand fast with one another in our conduct. We stand fast with one another as the body of Christ. We stand fast against the adversaries, those who oppose the gospel. Why do we need one another? Because sometimes I need to call and say, "Help! The enemy's attacking." Right? Have you ever had the enemy attack? Have you ever had to call a friend and say, "I need prayer today"? We do, and we need to stand against the enemy. Look at verse 28. "And striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is them a proof of perdition, but to you salvation, that from God." We stand fast against the adversaries. We must be courageous against the opposition. Fear is not necessarily a bad thing. Okay, understand the difference. Terrified and fear are two different words, right? Fear is can be a good thing. Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." There is a proper place for fear. That's the fear of the Almighty God. Fearing our adversaries is an inappropriate place for fear, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What do I need to fear for? Oh, I need help sometimes to get through that fear. I need help. But there is a difference, again, between having a healthy fear that protects you from danger and a debilitating fear that brings a scared heart. How often we can fall into the debilitating fear of the world. Turn on news and it can be very fearful. It can be very debilitating. We're losing. Oh, the world is falling apart. Oh, they're going to come after me. They're going to come after us. Well, maybe. Maybe. Remember where Paul is writing from, right? He's not having great victory right at the moment. Right? He is in prison, right? But he doesn't have fear, for he knows God is working through his life. We don't have to have fear. We just have to know that God is still in control. Regardless of what he brings our way, he allows things to come our way. I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we just think, "Oh, God didn't see that one coming." Right? God sees, he knows, he allows. Right? Stories such as Job. Do you realize in Job that Satan came and asked for Job and he said, "Yeah." Right? Twice. "Yeah, you can have him. But you can only go so far. You can only do so much." That same God is God of our lives. He may allow things to come into us that we don't like, that we would never ask for, but he's only allowed to go so far. Satan can only go as far as God allows him to go in our lives, and we need to hold on to that. The adversaries, sometimes that's what the phone calls are for, right? Sometimes we call somebody up, and that's the answer we need to hear, by the way. When somebody calls, you say, just remember, the enemy can only go so far. You're still in the hands of God. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 11, 12, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I don't want to be persecuted. How many of you are looking for a day of persecution this week? Not me. I want a simple, easy walk this week. I want to come next Sunday and say, I had a great week. It was an easy ride. Right? And we all do. But here's the case. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's friends. Sometimes it's loved ones that are not having the easy ride. Sometimes it might just be me. Right? I have to be able to look at that and go, but God has still got me. He is still walking with me. I need to stand fast against the adversaries. This is Paul's point to the Philippians. The gospel to the unbeliever is a proof of perdition, but to you, salvation. Right? The enemy, those that are against the... they hate the gospel. Why? Obvious. It calls them to walk a different world than what they want to walk in. To serve a different God than what they want to serve. Right? I like to serve me. Do you like to serve you? That's my God sometimes. It's me. I want to be the God that I serve. That's not what God has called us to do. He reminds us periodically, more often than I want, sometimes, that he is the only true God. And my worship and my time needs to be spent with him in his plan. Okay? It's a proof of perdition to those that, but to you of salvation. The world out there acts like the world because that's what the gospel does. If you go tell somebody about Jesus, probably a good portion of the time you're going to get rejected. Okay? What do? We keep soldiering on. We keep walking worthy of the conduct. Let them see your life. Okay. Let them see it. Let me show you what God has done. You compare my life to yours. Let's see who's got the better life in the end. Right? The word perdition is another Greek word. Here we go. Apolia. It means destruction, perish, or to die. Right? The gospel to the world is reminding them that death is coming your way. Destruction is coming their way. They're just people like you and me. Nobody likes to be told, you're going to die. Especially when you're talking eternally. Right? But that's what they need to hear. And that's what they despise. But to us, what is it when we die? What we talked about last week. To die is gain, right? When we die, we gain eternity in Christ. Our work, this lowly, yucky place is gone when we die. Right? It's a blessing. When I find a believer that has died, I used to get kind of sad. My mom passed away, 27 years ago, something like that. It was a sad day, personally. But something happened, and when Brenda's mom died 10 years later, probably, all of a sudden it just really became clear. Why am I so sad? Right? We sing songs like, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. You know what happens when a believer dies? They've entered that which we sing about. They are joyful that I changed my whole thought. Yo, I miss them. I'm sad. But there is a joy that overwhelms me that says, but they don't have to face this junk anymore. They're with the God of heaven. They're rejoicing. Everything that I hold, everything that I believe in, everything that I'm aiming for, they just moved into. What a joyous, joyous place to be. It's no wonder why the gospel is so wicked to people that don't know him. Because they're not moving to that place. It's been said, what is it? To a non-believer, this world is the best it's ever going to get. To a believer, this world is as bad as it's ever going to get for us. Right? And that is true. That is true. Paul wrote it this way in 2 Corinthians 2:15, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. And among those who are perishing, to the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life." It's no wonder why the world hates us when they don't want to surrender their lives to God. Because you're reminding them with your life that they are doomed. They have a hopeless eternity lying ahead of them. Therefore, we need to stand fast against the enemy, knowing to whom we belong, and in him we have eternal life, and we have absolutely nothing to fear when the enemy attacks us. Nothing. I think Carmen, if you know who Carmen is, 80s singer, he wrote something in one of his songs, see if I can get it right here. "We have nothing to fear." I had it and I lost it. You know how it is when you hit 60? If you don't state it out quickly and bluntly, you're gone. Anybody here think that way? So I lost that thought. Listen to Carmen, you'll find a good song. "So therefore, we are to stand fast." He finishes this whole thing up. "Stand fast in sufferings. It has been granted to us not only to believe, but to suffer." Listen to what he says in 29:30. "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me." Suffering shouldn't be a strange thing to us as believers. It's going to come. It's there, right? "It has been granted us to not only believe but to suffer. We, like the good, we have been granted by believing the gospel and eternal life. But with our believing, we also are granted the right to suffer for the gospel. The world is going to come after us. You're going to walk in, maybe it's a Walmart aisleway, and you walk up to somebody and the conversation leads to a point where you can say, "Do you know Jesus?" And they want to turn around and slap you. They begin angrily getting after you. It's okay. It's okay. Suffering for Christ and his gospel is an honor that has been granted to us. It's not an evil. It's an honor. Adam Clark wrote, "It is no small privilege that God has so far honored you as to permit you to suffer on Christ's account. It is only his most faithful servants that he thus honors." 2 Timothy 2:12 says, "If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." The word endure is rendered suffer in the King James Version. Right? So it would be read like this: if we suffer, we'll also reign with him. But if we endure, we suffer, right? We shall reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. What a horrible picture. What a horrible picture. Paul is reminding them that this is to be expected. Paul had suffered many things. Remember where Paul is. He's in prison. He's suffered many things. Go back and read Acts and just see how much Paul suffered in there. And then look at your own life and think, Yeah, but he hasn't been through what I've been through. Really? Paul suffered many things. I have never been stoned and left for dead anywhere yet. Though on Tuesday nights, I might be. But I really haven't been left for dead. They at least get me out the door. It's all said that, right? It's none of us have really suffered that hard, where we've been left for dead because of Christ. But Paul was, and he continued on in the faith of the gospel. Matthew Henry said, if we suffer reproach and a loss for Christ, we are to reckon it a great gift and a prize, and prize it accordingly. Be grateful. Be grateful that God found you strong enough, worthy enough to suffer what we suffer. Again, we serve God. The God that, and Sam said, the God that could make rocks cry out. We serve the God that can turn dust to gnats. That's our God. We must never forget that. We must remember to whose we belong. So this morning, it's just a reminder, stand fast in your conduct, stand fast in the gospel that of unity that prevails within the church. Stand fast when facing persecution, and stand fast when persecution leads to suffering. Continue to walk worthy of that which the Lord has called us to do. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word this morning. Just pray that you would continue to guide us in our everyday lives as we walk with you. Give us strength and fortitude to be able to handle what comes our way. None of the sufferings that we face are easy. But we know who is in control. So remind us, O Lord, the way that your spirit would remind us. In your son's name, amen.